God calls us to wholeheartedly live for Him, to love people in the way that is truly centered on others. As we read 1 Corinthians 13, it's a love that bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Ladies, today on Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares another lesson in following the Master, the one who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you today about training a child to self-control. Do your children control themselves, or do you do all the controlling? Has it occurred to you that you need to train a child to control himself? Now, Henry Clay Trumbull says in his book, Hints on Child Training, that a child's first struggle with himself ought to be in the direction of controlling his impulse to give full play to his lungs and his muscles at the prompting of his nerves. That's certainly what a child does, isn't he? When he's a brand new baby, he is giving full play to his lungs and his muscles at the prompting of his nerves. Have you thought of the need to control, to help that child to control those impulses? Well, Trumbull says, as soon as the nerves make themselves felt, they prompt a child to cry, to thrash his arms, to kick, and to twist his body on every side at the slightest provocation or at none. Unless this prompting be checked, the child will exhaust himself in aimless exertion and will increase his own discomfort by the very means of its exhibit. And I can't help wondering as I read this whether some of the hyperactive children are children who simply have never been taught to sit still. Now, maybe you're going to write to me and say, well, what do you know about psychiatry? And if you want to give us psychology, then you better get a degree in psychology. Well, I'm not a psychologist. I only suggested that I can't help wondering if that might be the case. It might be that a child who is thought to be hyperactive is simply a child that has not been taught by his parents to control muscles that it would be possible for him to control. And there may be cases where it's not possible. I don't know. I'm not a doctor of any sort whatsoever. But I'm just reading what a wise man said 100 years ago. A control of himself at this point is possible to a child at an age while he is yet unable to speak or to understand what is spoken to him. If a parent realizes that the child must be induced to control himself and seeks in loving firmness to cause the child to realize that same truth, the child will feel the parent's conviction and will yield to it, even though he cannot comprehend the meaning of his parent's words as words. The way of helping the child will be found by the parent who wills to help him. And there's a good and encouraging word for all of you. There are 1,000 questions, 1,000 different situations, but the way of helping the child will be found by the parent who wills to help him. And instead of being disgusted with your child and just thinking, oh, this is a throwaway kid, this is an impossible kid, he's a rotten kid, instead of that, will to help him. Make up your mind that there is help for the child and that God has put you in the position to help him, and God will help you to help him. But to leave your child to himself in these earliest struggles is to put him at a sad disadvantage in all the future combats of his life's warfare, while to give him wise help in these earliest struggles is to give him help for all the following struggles. The bondage to self, we see it on every hand, don't we? In adults, in teenagers, in children. Who of us is not conscious of struggles within ourselves, wanting and not wanting, willing and not willing? St. Paul said, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, the outcome of our struggles determines our character. Will it be bondage to self or mastery over the self? Defeat or triumph? Failure or success? What the parents do for the child will go a great way toward determining which it's going to be. And you can train your child to self-control, to manly self-mastery, and to womanly quietness of mind and firmness of will. If not trained, the child will be hopelessly a child for the rest of his life. And we all know people like that. Just spoiled children, mastered by their own whims. And by that time, they're whims of iron, aren't they? As soon as a child is able to understand what is said to him, he should be taught and trained to control his impulse to cry and to wriggle under the pressure of physical pain. When a child has fallen and hurt himself, or has cut his finger, or has burned his hand, or has been hit by an ill-directed missile, it is natural for him to shriek with pain and fright. And it's perfectly natural for his tender-hearted mother or his grandmother to shrink from blaming him just then for crying. But even at a time like this, a mother has an unmistakable duty of helping her child to gain a measure of control over himself. I read somewhere that Susanna Wesley, who had 19 children, I think only 10 of which survived, she made the statement that she would not allow crying, loud crying. She taught her children to cry quietly. A child can be taught to repress his cries and to moderate his exhibits of disturbed feelings. My mother always said, a tantrum doesn't last very long if there are no spectators. And so she had a special little place. It was sort of a pantry that we called the crying room. And anybody who was crying unduly, unnecessarily, or anybody who decided to have a tantrum was quietly placed in the crying room and told that he could stay there until he could find a happy face. A child can come to exercise self-control under circumstances such as these. Now, my great-grandfather says this, coaxing and rewarding a child into quiet at such a time is not what is needed. Coaxing and rewarding a child. We're always tempted to offer rewards, aren't we? But it is the encouraging a child into an intelligent control of himself that is to be aimed at by the wise parent. It is only a choice between evils that substitutes a candy-paid silence for a noisy indulgence of feeling on a child's part. Both, in other words, he is saying, are wrong. A candy-paid silence doesn't accomplish anything at all except to train the child that the bigger the fuss he makes, the more likely he is to get some candy. And that's just as bad as the noisy indulgence of feeling. A good illustration of the unwise way of inducing children to seem to have control of themselves is given in the familiar story of a little fellow throwing himself on the floor and kicking and yelling and then crying out, "Grandma, Grandma, I want to be pacified. Where are your sugar plums?" Dr. Bushnell, protesting against this method of coaxing a child out of a state of irritation in a fit of ill nature by dainties that please the taste, says it must be a very stupid child that will not cry and fret a great deal when it is so pleasantly rewarded. Trained in this manner to play ill nature for sensation's sake, it will go on rapidly in the course of double attainment and will be very soon perfected in the double character of an ill-natured, morbid sensualist and a feigning cheat besides. I was talking to a lady just recently who was quite a bit overweight. And she was just being very open with me and sharing the fact that she had had many emotional problems recently. And she said, "I know it's stupid, but," she said, "you know, I do eat to console myself." Now, I don't know anything about her childhood, but it's very possible that she developed the habit of eating to console herself because her mother coaxed her with treats when she was misbehaving. We need to ask the Lord for wisdom in dealing with all of these different kinds of child training problems. The Apostle Paul said, "I buffet my body," a word that means actually to give a black eye. "I give myself a black eye to bring my body into bondage or subjection, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." It's necessary for us to bring our bodies under control. How much easier it will be for us to do this if our parents have helped us from earliest days. And I mentioned the other day a book which helps parents from the very first day of a child's life to discipline the child in a kind and gentle and very liberating way. The most insecure children I know are children who come from homes where they have not been disciplined. Our home was an ordered home, and I'm thankful for that. I do believe that it has made us much more confident and stable than we would have been if we didn't know where the lines were drawn. We need to help the child in every way possible. The book that I mentioned the other day, which will help you from day one of your child's life, is called My First 300 Babies. May the Lord give you wisdom and patience and lots of mercy in dealing with your sweet little malleable children.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliott has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.